Good morning, church. It sounds like you're having a good time. It's great to see you all. God has given us a wonderful day, and as you can probably feel, the air conditioning is on in here today. It's real nice and cool, so I hope you enjoy that. I know Michelle will be happy to have cool temperatures here. We welcome all of you to worship, and if you're visiting today, there's a green slip of paper in the pew. It's for you, if you would, to fill out your name and address. We have a way of contacting you, a record of your time with us. It's also what you can use to write a prayer request. We'll collect those during one of the hymns right before the pastoral prayer today. So if you'd like to have us be in prayer for anything, please use that to fill that out. I invite you to stand, if you will, for the call to worship. It looks a little funny. I'm going to be reading a line from Psalm 136. Your response is printed in the bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. The God who alone does great wonders. And this is the God we worship today, the God whose love endures forever, the God whose love will never be taken from us.
Right.
God, we praise you that your love endures forever. And that you cover us with your love, you support us with your love, you hold and protect us with your love. And in your love, you have given us Jesus Christ to be our Savior and Lord, to remove the penalty of our sin, to take away the guilt of our sin, and to give us eternal life as your children, who have the opportunity and the privilege to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bulletin cover says, be at peace with one another. And one of the ways that churches have done that over the ages is by sharing this greeting that's really a blessing, in which one person says, may the peace of Christ be with you, and the other one says, and also with you. Let's try that. May the peace of Christ be with you. I'd like you to share that blessing with each other as you greet one another now. Put it in there for a change. The bulletin, as usual, has a full insert full of announcements, and I hope that you will take time to read those later during the sermon. No, actually, read them at lunch or whatever, but please do read them. There's a lot in here that is important for the health of the church, for the participation of the membership. One thing that is new, if you'll notice inside under the prayer list, is that we're looking for someone to take over the prayer chain, that contact that Laura Nadell has been providing for so many people for so long. She would like to pass that on to someone else. So if any of you would like to pick that up as a ministry for the rest of the congregation, please see Carl Andrews or any one of the deacons. Bob has an announcement.
We're shifting gears a bit as we get into our fall season, and one of the things we're shifting gears with is we're going to be meeting for prayer on Monday evenings here on out instead of Thursday nights. We'd hate for you to come this Thursday and have us not be here, so please, if you know of anybody that comes to prayer with us that's not here, let them know that we're meeting on Monday night at 7:30. That's tomorrow night. We meet up right up here in the front of the sanctuary. We'd love to have new folks come on out and pray with us if you can make it. So please join us. It's a great way to tie in with the church, to feel a heartbeat of the church, I think, in praying with folks. And you really learn what's on people's hearts, too. And I think that's a real plus to all this, as well as finding the heart of God and all these things that we're praying over. This evening at 6:30, the youth group is going to be having a bonfire at my house. We're looking forward to that. It's always a lot of fun. We'll be playing frisbee in the dark across the field from my house. And if you don't know how we could play frisbee in the dark, come on out and find out. We'll show you. It's a lot of fun. and we'll be burning a Christmas tree. It's always a good thing, especially after they've been marinating since last December, you know, in the woods behind my house. So it's really going to be dry. It's going to be a sight to behold. So come on out for that. And we'd love to have as many folks come on out for that as possible. If you're a parent of a kid, of a child that comes to Youth Group, we'd love to have you come out on out and join us too. And we wanted to remind folks, though, too, to bring lawn chairs this evening. So if you can remember to bring a lawn chair, that'd be great. We have some chairs, but not enough for everybody. But come on out for a great time. We'll be making some more as well, so that'll be a lot of fun. If you drove by the church these last couple of days, you saw that we're having Trunk or Treat again this year. That's going to be on Sunday, October the 25th. It's at 6 p.m. And if you have anything, bags of candy that you could donate to us, or even money, we'd love to take that from you as well, but mostly candy. We're not going to hand out money to the kids, so candy would be good, I guess. But we have a box in the back of the sanctuary, so that'll be there for the next couple of weeks. And if you would like to bring a bag or two of candy in next week, that'd be a big help for us. It's a great gospel witness for our church. We have lots of kids that come by, and we're looking forward to that. And then next Sunday night for Youth Group at 6:30, we're going to be meeting here at the church. We're going to be having this gentleman called, his name is Eves, and he's from Togo, West Africa. He's Rwandan. And he's since been resettled in Buffalo, but he's going to be coming and speaking to us. He received a shoebox through Operation Christmas Child many years ago as a child. And he's going to be giving his testimony about the impact that had on his individual life and also on the life of his church in his village, as well as the village itself in Togo, West Africa. He was a great witness. Excuse me, two folks, thank you. In his village there in Togo. So come on out and hear about that next Sunday. And let's see. If you're decorating a trunk for our trunk or treat, please see my wife Sarah about that, and she can help you along with any questions that you might have on that. Thank you.
From time to time, we want to give an update from the Pastoral Search Committee. This is one of those times to keep the congregation apprised of the progress and steps that the committee is making. And Rob Manna is going to make that presentation now.
Hey, these fancy new microphones. Can you hear me very well? Yes. New. Good morning, everybody. So, as the pastor said, we want to provide you an update with what's been going on. So the Pastoral Search Committee did meet this past week to talk a little bit more about our ongoing work in developing the participant profile for the church. And once again, developing this profile of our church participants is part of the sequence that's recommended by the literature that we got from TABCOM. I think it's TABCOM that literature came from. So they give us a whole bunch of literature on, you know, here's an approach to take as part of your pastoral search. And so part of that is developing this profile of who participates in the church. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, but I'll give the projector a couple more seconds to warm up here. And what I can tell you also is that we will be reaching out to you next week. I think Doug will have something for you that we want to engage the congregation in. And once again, helping with the pastoral search. So we're going to have some homework for everybody in the congregation, besides doing a survey. and once again, that's part of developing a profile of what our church is and who we are in the community. So there's been some questions and concerns related to the survey that we've put out there. So we want to give you a preview of what the intent is to do with the data that we're collecting in this survey. And so, really quickly, we're trying to gather all this information to give us a profile of who the church is. So, you know, one of the questions we ask you is, are you a member, right? So here's the basic statistics on the data we've gathered to date, right? So 76% of the people that have responded are actually members of the church. Where do we live? very simple, right? Where are we in our communities? And really, once again, in the literature that they give us, they want to know how far away are you coming from, but if we ask you what town you live in, then we know how far away you live because we can find out how far the town is from Abington. Age range, you know, what's our breakdown of our ages here in the church? Not surprisingly, there's a good chunk of 60 plus, but there's also a decent chunk, if I knew how to use this technology, it'd be great. I don't do this for a living or anything. So 24%, 31% are between 30 and 59. So that's actually pretty good. I'm not even going to bother trying to say the word. Not surprisingly, we are white. There wasn't even any point in listing what the orange was. And I think this is important to what the profile we're trying to generate here. We're not interested in the individual pieces of data. We're interested in presenting a picture of who the church body is. And so we don't need numbers on this one because it's fairly self-evident.
That would be your son. Yeah.
He's alone back there. So household state. I couldn't come up with a better one for this, but you know, are you married? Are you single? Are you cohabitating? That's pretty self-evident. Good news. Most people are married, and you know, we don't have too many people cohabitating with others. Employment status. Once again, just trying to understand big picture. What are we? You know, what is our job situation in the community? These things are important because different pastors are looking for different things, right? The pastor that's going to be led to join our church needs to understand who we are, right? Some pastors are gifted to maybe work in poorer communities. Other pastors are gifted to work in more affluent communities. And so we need to make sure that we find that person who has the right personality fit for our church and who we are. Household income. So this is the last one. This one I know has been a bit charged, maybe, in terms of its interpretation. Once again, we're collecting some specific data, but we're interested in big picture numbers. And these numbers effectively are available on the web already. You can go to the U.S. Post Office Service and find out almost the same information about the community as a whole, but we want to understand our community within the church body, right? And so this is a very large breakdown. The reason I did this in this particular case is we don't have enough sampling yet. So to break it down any further doesn't make any sense because otherwise we're getting too detailed. And that's another thing I want to emphasize is we're collecting this data. I'm the only one who's working with the raw data, and I don't want to look at the raw data. In fact, I try as hard as possible not to look at the raw data. I'm much more interested in developing charts and graphs that help paint a picture of our community. So we would hope that you have faith in us and trust in us to respond to the survey and give us the data that we're looking for so that we can complete this picture. Because right now, we have less than 50% response rate compared to average attendance on a Sunday in the sanctuary here. So we've been averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 people attending church on each Sunday, and we have less than 50% response rate right now just compared to that. And our church body is actually larger than that. So we really need to gather as much data as we can to provide an accurate picture of our church body. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and please feel free to talk to any of the members of the committee after worship or if you have questions or concerns. But I remind you, when we dedicated this committee, you dedicated yourselves to help them, and one of the ways you help them is by answering their questions. It's a totally anonymous, I promise you, totally anonymous survey. So the more of those we come in, the more accurate we can present you to prospective candidates, and that's really what we want. Mike Collins is going to do our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. This is from 2 Corinthians 13-18. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 107, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and sing it through twice.
Seated, and if you have joys or concerns you want to share in a prayer, please just hold them up and Bob will get those and bring them forward. I don't think that there are any changes from last Sunday's prayer list that's printed. From Cindy, Tressa Rogers was in a car accident late yesterday. Pray that she was not seriously hurt. It's Tressa Rogers. And an update from Karen Seeley, Shirley Horn, her mother, is doing well overall. Please pray for good pain control so she can continue progressing in her recovery. Thank you. Glad to hear that. When you consider that God is the God of the universe, who's made all things and has almighty and all wisdom and knowledge and power, and allows us to come and offer our prayers, it's really a wonder that we can pour out our hearts to God and have access to God through His Spirit. So I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You welcome our prayers. We thank You that You want to hear from us as Your children. Just as good parents are willing to let their kids get on their lap and talk to them about whatever is on their mind. Lord, we bring to You our concerns for our world and our nation, for those people we love. We pray that throughout the world where there is turmoil and war and hostility and hate, You would strengthen those who struggle for peace and who struggle against what is evil and give them victory. And we pray that in the far places of the earth where You have put Your church, may it shine in those dark places as a light and draw others to faith in Jesus Christ. May the suffering church, the persecuted church, endure because you strengthen them each day. May their witness be a testimony and bring conviction to their oppressors that their ways are wrong. And we pray, Lord God, for the continued guidance that our own President and Congress need to make decisions that are good for our nation and for our role in the world. We cannot do everything. We aren't responsible for everything. But we're called to do what is good and right and to play our role well. And we pray that you will guide the leaders who have that charge, who have that decision to make. And that they might make it in ways that remember the most vulnerable among us, as the Pope so eloquently expressed to Congress this week, that those who are elected to serve are elected to serve, and that service includes serving the least of those among us. And we thank you, Lord, for our church that can minister in so many ways, in so many places, through our giving and through our prayers and through our going, our outreach, our being there in person. And we're grateful for the ministry opportunities you give to us as individuals and as a congregation. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can pray for those who are on our hearts, for Tressa and her recovery, for Shirley and continued recovery there, for Bob adjusting to his new situation at South Shore. We pray with thanksgiving for the birth of James Edward and pray for his healing and strength and just recovery from the trauma of birth. Lord, we bless you for the help you are to us in our times of need, that we can bring to you anything at all that's on our heart, because whatever matters to us matters to you. And that's because your love for us is so great. And we thank you for a love that endures forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our worship with a giving of tithes and offerings now.
Please rise for the doxology, number 815 in hymnal.
Oh, bestow upon us, and we praise you that we can give a small portion back to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, except for the Sunday school teachers. We'd like you to come forward. On September 13th, I walked around through the hallways listening outside the doors, and it was really exciting to hear just the animated discussions that were going on and to see how actively the teachers were engaged with the kids that were in the classes and even Doug with the adults. It was just really fun to listen and hear that. The high school kids, Bob wasn't here that day, and the high school kids were saying something about jumping off roofs into the snow. I'm not sure what verse that's from. But Bob may want to check on that. But no, it's a great, great opportunity for us as a church to dedicate these wonderful folks who are committed to give so much of their time throughout the year to the fulfilling of the covenant part of our church for our kids. So in the church covenant, you promise before God that we will take care of the religious education of our children. And for this great duty, we set aside resources and materials and classroom space, and we set apart these church school teachers. So as you begin the work of teaching this year, I want to ask you to reaffirm your faith in Christ and your commitment to this ministry. So first, do you believe, this is to the teachers, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you accept him as your Savior and Lord? Trusting that the Spirit who calls you to teach will also enable you, do you now pledge yourself to labor faithfully to strengthen the Christian faith of our children and adults by your example, your instruction, and your care for them? If so, please say, I do. Church, together, we are one body in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so while these members will teach in the church, they still need your support, your interest, and your concern. Do you therefore pledge to uphold them in prayer, seeking God's guidance, patience, and wisdom for them all? If so, please say, we do. And let us pray together. Almighty Father, you call us to know you, the one true living God. Now these teachers have the holy task of helping the children and adults of this church come to know you better. Here before you, we set apart these members whom your Spirit has called to teach and the students who are called to learn. And we commit them all to your care and guidance. May every class be a joyful labor of love for each teacher and a blessing for each student. And in all things, Father, may you receive glory and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 626. The Lily of the Valley.
Thank you. have the youngest ones can go on to junior church. Okay, girls, come on over. Didn't have you all here today. Inside the bulletin, there's this thing from the Focus on the Family, and it always has a tough questions from kids. Have you ever asked tough questions? Why? You ever say why? Why does something happen? This one is, why are Christians called the body of Christ? Well, the answer is in here in the back, but I just wanted to illustrate it. You can read that with your parents later, but I wanted to kind of illustrate it. I wanted to let you pick out one pipe. All you want. Now I'd like you to make something out of your pipe. Whatever you want to make. You think? What do you make of RG? I don't know. Did you come up with anything? A circle, okay. If you had more pipe cleaners, could you make something bigger, something more interesting maybe? That's how it is in the church. If you have one person, they can only do so much. But if you have lots of people, then a lot can get done. And just like in your body, you've got lots of parts, so you can run and talk and walk and eat and do all kinds of things because your body has so many parts. And that's why the church is like a body. You've got a lot of parts. Just like this, you can make a lot of things happen. You can make a lot of interesting things happen. So when you go to junior church today, I'm going to send these along, and maybe you can make something else that's bigger and better than what you can do with one. I'll give those to the teacher. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for making the church the body of Christ. And we pray that each part can do its role well, and that we can support each other to accomplish all that you want this body to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up today. Go ahead, you can go, Lindsay.
I'd like you to turn to Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. It's on page 1609 in the Pew Bible. It checks for this morning message. This is the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray that this wonderful experience of Peter, James, and John would be relevant in our life today. As we hear this word, as we consider what happened that day, may our own lives experience a measure of transformation to become more like Jesus. For your word has said that we're being changed from one degree of glory to another to become like our Lord. And we pray that attending to your word today will help that happen even more. In Christ's name, amen.
Remember the television show, The Brady Bunch? Brady Bunch, okay. And there was always this line that Jan gave every time she got frustrated with her sister. Marsha. It's always, oh, Doug says that a lot. I think if with a bunch of disciples that Jesus had, it must have been Peter, James, and John. Because they're the three who got invited to go in with Jesus when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. They're the three who Jesus took with him deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he prayed and was arrested. And who did Jesus take up the mountain of Transfiguration to see this glorious thing happen? Peter, James, and John. What was it about these three guys that they always got picked? Was there some inner quality that sort of set them apart and made them the ones Jesus picked for this? Were they just the teacher's pets? Well, recently, archaeologists have discovered a first century document that appears to be a lost fragment of the Gospel of Luke. And thanks to the internet, I was able to download it. It tells actually what happened just before the narrative that I just read. So it's going to help us see why it was Peter, James, and John and not someone else. So I have the opportunity to just share this priceless relic with you today and let you hear for yourselves why Peter and James and John were with Jesus that amazing, amazing day.
I quote, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus prepared to go up a nearby mountain to pray. He first asked Thomas to go with him, but Thomas doubted he could fit that into his schedule. 'My kids have sports all weekend, Lord. I just can't squeeze anything else in.' So Thomas couldn't go. Jesus asked Simon the Zealot, but Simon suspected a quiet prayer retreat, and that did not appeal to an activist like him. Simon thought spiritual stuff was pretty boring, and besides, he didn't know his way around the Bible very well. And so he declined. And so did Nathanael and Bartholomew. They were on the fringe of the group, and they enjoyed their obscurity, content to do as little as possible. They had no real sense of duty or desire to do more than the minimum. And so going off with Jesus might mean coming back with more responsibility, not what they wanted. Jesus then asked James the Less, but James felt less spiritual than the others. And James the Less still had several hang-ups and bad habits he said he had to clean up first. He just didn't feel he was good enough to spend time with Jesus. Judas didn't give the invite a second thought. The business of the group had to go on, and he had too much on his shoulders to go off with Jesus for a few days on some spiritual thing. God helps those who help themselves, he often said. Judas never was one for prayer. He always had more practical things to do. Matthew was next, but the tax collector's social calendar was too full to free up the time. He liked being a disciple, but really preferred spending time with his old friends. Relational evangelism was what he called it, but it was pretty much relational and not much evangelism.
besides the clubs he was in, still expected him to come to the meetings and serve as an officer. If Jesus could just plan this trip again, say next year, Matthew was sure that with more lead time, he could fit it in, but not now. Now here the fragment has the words of Jesus, in red actually. Andrew, how'd you like to go to the mountain with me for a while? Andrew said, no thanks, Lord. I'm too much a people person for that. I guess going off on a retreat did not appeal to an extrovert like Andrew. After all, who could he talk to on the mountain? Jesus? Then Philip was invited. Sorry, Lord, but that's the weekend I'm taking the family to visit my mother's cousin's nephew in Bethsaida. The seashore is our favorite destination. I know it'll take me away, but while we have our health, we'd like to travel. How about a rain check? And the fragment then concludes. Finally then, after all these rejections, Jesus spoke to his three remaining disciples. Would any of you like to go with me to the mountain for a while? Sure, how soon can we go? Said Peter. I was hoping you'd ask me, said James. And John answered, Lord, I'd love to spend some time with you. And then here is where the existing text of Luke resumes, which is in your scripture. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up the mountain to pray. And on that mountain, those three disciples saw Jesus transfigured before their eyes. They saw the unveiled, radiant glory of the Son of God. They saw Moses and Elijah, these Old Testament heroes, talking alive there with Jesus. And they heard the voice of God speak to them from the cloud. This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. And they never forgot this life-changing experience, this life-changing time with Jesus. In fact, in his second letter, Peter mentions it. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his glory. We heard that voice on the mountain. I believe the Lord still extends an open invitation for us to spend time with him. Now, he may not call you to a mountain summit off in Judea somewhere, but to your living room sofa, or perhaps a trailside bench in Ames Knoll Park, your breakfast nook, or maybe your back porch. Jesus still invites his disciples to come away from the world a while and be alone with him and listen to his word. It's an open invitation. And accepting it doesn't take a lot of preparation or a lot of qualifications. It doesn't cost you much money. You don't need a lot of spiritual insight or Bible knowledge. You only need an open mind, a desire to experience more of Jesus, and a heart that's eager to be with him. Time with Jesus will let him shine his glory on you like they saw on the mountain. Like God shined his glory on Moses when Moses went up to Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, came back with his face shining. But when Jesus shines his glory on you, his glory is going to be reflected by you, as if you just came from a spiritual tanning bed. But it won't be your skin that glows because you've been with Jesus. It'll be your life. Because the practice of spending time with Jesus will steadily and slowly transform you into his image, as you heard in the scripture that Mike read, from one degree of glory to another. That's what the Holy Spirit does with the Word of God when we spend time with Jesus. That's what Jesus sent the Spirit to do. He will take the things that belong to me and declare them to you so that you can learn more about Jesus by your time with him in the Word. Spend time with Jesus and you will reflect his glory as you learn to love like Jesus, as you learn to serve like Jesus, to show compassion like Jesus, as you learn to forgive like Jesus, and to obey God's will like Jesus. The more you are with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants for you. The question is that what you want for you? The Jewish council of leaders who arrested Peter and John after they had healed the man at the
temple gate, knew that Peter and John were uneducated, ordinary men. And yet Scripture says they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. But is it surprising that a Christian would be and act like Jesus? I mean, after all, that's the point. That's God's plan. That's the purpose. We're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are slowly becoming like Christ. The Spirit of God accomplishes this transformation by opening the Word of God to us. As you heard earlier, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. To those who will accept the invitation to get alone with Jesus, to spend time with Him on a frequent and regular basis and listen to His words, the Spirit of the Lord is promised to remove the veil of ignorance, to remove the misunderstanding that often keeps us from living by the Word of God. I've heard people say, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, how else are you going to understand it if you don't start to read it? Because the Spirit is promised to help us understand the things of God which are in the Scripture. And when we come to the Scripture, trusting God's Spirit to open it to us, the veil is removed and our understanding grows as we see more and more. In the prospective member class just this morning, one of the members said, you know, coming to the Scripture is like discovering jewels and gold when you find these wonderful truths about God and these amazing things that are in the Scripture for our lives. That's why God has given us the Word. That's why the Spirit has preserved the Word throughout all these centuries so that we can grow from it. One Baptist distinctive is the concept of the priesthood of all believers, which means that no one, not the Pope, not the general minister and president of the American Baptist Church, not even your own pastor, can tell you what you must believe. Because each one of us has the soul freedom, that's S-O-U-L, the soul freedom to approach the Bible, be led by the Spirit of God in the light of reason, to discover for ourselves what the Bible means, what the teaching means. But see, this soul freedom also means responsibility. Because if I have the freedom to come and see, to come and listen, to come and learn, to come and be transformed, then I have the responsibility to do that. And I have no excuse if I don't. Now, as you may have suspected from your snickers, that first century document I read earlier was fictitious. But the excuses were not. We can hide behind any number of supposed reasons for not spending time with Jesus. We can rationalize that we don't have enough time, or that we'll do it later, that we really don't need it, or that Bible study is just not our thing. But who better to study the Bible and learn from it than the people who claim to believe it? I mean, to quote your own covenant, this is what you promised. We pledge to strive diligently to do our share in advancing this fellowship in the knowledge and understanding of Holy Scripture. Now that can't happen unless you all read and study the Holy Scripture. Last week the seasons changed from summer to fall. And the workout gyms take note of this. It's funny, back in the spring, they're all saying, all these workout gyms, these fitness centers are all saying, offering you these specials to come in and get in shape for summer. You know, come and get your bikini body. But now they're saying, come and get in shape for fall. As if they think any season is a good season to get in shape, physically. Well, I believe any season is a good season to get in shape spiritually. That any season is a good season to examine our priorities and our schedules and our commitments. Fall is as good a time as any to discern whether we are living to please God or to just please ourselves. It's a time to decide what changes we need to make, a time to determine how to make those changes stick. It's a good time to joyfully recommit to live by the covenant you have made with Jesus Christ and with each other. And as you see in the bulletin, this is the 2015-16 vision statement that those who came to the retreat on last Saturday have offered for the church. So this is simply one effective and I think fruitful step to take. Accept the Lord's open invitation to spend time with Him each day. See if the veil isn't removed. That is, you don't understand more and more about Scripture as you read it more. See if you don't become more and more like Jesus. See if His glory isn't reflected in your attitudes, in your actions. Who knows, maybe someone will take note that you too have been with Jesus. Not because your skin is shining, but because they see Jesus reflected in you. Let's pray. Lord, there are many reasons we would not want to do what it takes to become like You. But Your word is so clear and so available. I pray You just cut through the excuses we might have for not coming to Your word each day. And when we do come, You would speak to us, that Your Spirit would bring conviction and encouragement and hope and guidance and all that we need from Your word. Because that's why Your word is given to us, that we might live by every word that has come from the mouth of God. May we discover new truth in Your word and new joy spending time with You. Amen. Before our hymn of response, you'll see in the bulletin is a spoken response. And I would invite you to share together, to say together, because it is a part of the covenant you have made. I've just lifted it out and put it in quotes. So if you would, see there in the bulletin right after the message, the spoken response. I invite you to, let's speak this together. To live by the covenant we have made, I will endeavor to set aside adequate periods of time for daily personal and family devotions. Now we stand and sing together, Take Time to Be Holy. Take Time to Be Holy. 656.
Thank you. that we have fellowship time in the fellowship hall of refreshments and conversation. We just go through there and up the stairs. And there are several sign-up sheets in the back of the sanctuary for your participation in the life of the church. There are several things that are needed, and there's also opportunities for you to get information about mission works and other things that are going on in the greater life of Capcom. Let's receive God's benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit continue to work in your heart, transforming you more and more into the likeness of your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.